Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Put It In Your Pocket, your source for all niche music trivia. My name's Caroline, and today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite songs of the 90s. Yes, I'm sorry, we're pivoting from Green Day back to some 90s stuff, but this is very pop contemporary 90s. It's Only Wanna Be With You by Hootie and the Blowfish. I'm just getting it out of the way, what we're talking about today, because this episode's going to be a little different in format. We're not going to be building up to the big song that we're talking about at the end. We're going to be starting with Only Wanna Be With You, because a lot of people don't really know this story. It's one of my favorite little niche music trivia stories, if you will. They don't know that Only Wanna Be With You is an extremely interesting song lyrically, and there's tons of different things to pick apart and look at, even though on the surface it sounds like just another catchy pop song, which it is, but it's extremely interesting to delve into, and there's lots of mini stories and like side treks that we can take with it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And then maybe later we'll put on a little Dylan and talk about him too. So I don't know. I'm excited. But Only Wanna Be With You is definitely one of my favorite pop songs of all time. I mean, it's catchy. It's light. The guitar is great. I love Darius Rucker's voice. It's just amazing. And it's just, like I mentioned before, one of my favorite songs of the 90s. And it was released on Hootie and the Blowfish's breakthrough album, Cracked Rearview. That has all the big ones. Hold My Hand, Time, Let Her Cry. Like all of the big singles that they had in the 90s are pretty much on Cracked Rearview, which came out in 1994, but Only Wanna Be With You was released as a single in July 1995 as the third single, just because it was so big off of the album. And it was extremely well received. It peaked at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 1 on the Billboard Top 40, number 3 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary, and number 2 on the Billboard Rock Tracks chart. It was also extremely successful overseas, which I think is so interesting. It topped the Canadian RPM 100 Hit Tracks chart for 3 weeks, becoming Canada's second most successful song of 1995. And it also found success in Ireland, and it was number 4 on the Icelandic singles charts, and reached top 40 in Australia and New Zealand. I always think those facts are so interesting, you know, what performs well overseas and what doesn't. But like I said, it's just a very marketable song. It's super fun. And it had a really, really successful music video, which is also super fun. And so it was just a really well-received single, and it's just a very good quality single. Very peak Hootie and the Blowfish, very good thing to come out in the middle of the 90s. But the reason why I want to talk about this song, and I'm sure that a lot of my family and friends are like, oh God, Caroline finally remembered that she knows this story. Because I do like to torture people with the story behind this song. Only Wanna Be With You is, I would say, 60% one big Bob Dylan reference. And you kind of have to be a little bit of a Dylan head to pick up on it. There's little lines in here like, I'm tangled up in blue and ain't Bobby so cool, that might kind of raise some eyebrows, but there's a big verse in this song that is one continuous Bob Dylan reference that a lot of people don't pick up on, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So first, we're going to break down Only Wanna Be With You and the lyrical just mastery of it. I think it's such a well-woven song and just so interesting. So it all starts with a tweet in 2013 that Darius Rucker responded to. So someone said, at Darius Rucker, why do the Dolphins make you cry? And he responded, because they haven't won a Super Bowl since I was 6 years old. And that is the beginning of this story. So why do the Dolphins make Darius Rucker cry? I might be alone in this. I never picked up on the fact that it was the Miami Dolphins. I don't have a football brain, if you could guess. But this song, the music video mostly has a lot of sports references in it. But Darius Rucker in this song is doing a lot of interesting things that parallel what Bob Dylan does in his music, which is make lots of mini references to lots of different things that don't seem to have a lot to do with each other on the surface. So we're talking about overall a big relationship in this song. Obviously, Only Want to Be With You, it's pretty on the nose, but things like, sometimes you think I'm crazy and you wonder why, I'm such a baby because the Dolphins make me cry, you know, talking about his own personal life. I just love that little line, and it never really made sense to me as a kid. I'm going to admit something. I have not always been the lyrical genius that I am. And when I was a kid, I thought he meant like dolphins in an aquarium. I grew up right next to SeaWorld, and I just assumed that the song was him pouring his heart out about dolphins in captivity and how sad that made him and how sensitive hearted of a person he was. But it's not, guys. It's about the Miami Dolphins. Basically, as we get further into this song, we have the big chunk that comes later where he says, put on a little Dylan sitting on a fence. And this is a really interesting line that introduces us to the big Bob Dylan reference, because in Bob Dylan's song, You're a Big Girl Now, he says, bird on the horizon, sitting on a fence. And so some people have speculated that that's a reference to that song. But to me, the phrase sitting on a fence could also be two people between two worlds. Like he kind of alludes at earlier in the song, like you and me, we come from different worlds. So that's just a really interesting line as well. Lots of double meanings there, like Bob Dylan tends to do. But the other interesting thing about this song is that every Bob Dylan song that is referenced in it is from the same album. It's called Blood on the Tracks, and it came out in the 70s. And it has You're a Big Girl Now, Idiot Wind, and Tangled Up in Blue all on it. And all of those songs are referenced in Only Want to Be With You. So that's a really interesting tidbit as well. And Darius Rucker has cited that that album is in one of his top five albums of all time, and that it's a really big inspiration for him. So instead of just reading out loud the lyrics that match up in this section, I'm just going to play them for you before we play the next few songs. So after he says, put on a little Dylan, sitting on a fence, he says, I say that line is great, you ask me what I meant by. And then he sings this.
Said I shot a man in green, took his wife to Italy. She inherited a $1 million and when she died, came to me. I can't help but him from looking.
Which is a direct parallel to Bob Dylan's song, Idiot Wind, where he says.
They say I shot a man in green, took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky.
Isn't that so cool? Oh my gosh, I love that little piece. I'm really hoping that that's a surprise for people who love Only Want to Be With You. I remember when I learned about it for the first time, I was getting really into Bob Dylan, and I heard that paragraph, that little like stanza in Idiot Wind, because Idiot Wind is a hilarious song. The line Idiot Wind, that's what comes out of your mouth, is just that, like, that's so funny, and it's so Bob Dylan. So I was looking at that song and I was like, oh, I have to show my mom that because she'll think it's funny. And she was like, I've heard that line before, like, where have I heard that stanza about said I shot a man named Gray? We did some research, and lo and behold, it's an Only Want to Be With You. So that's a really, really interesting part of this song. And then later he immediately says, ain't Bobby so cool, only want to be with you, obviously alluding to Bob Dylan. So obviously you might be thinking, is that plagiarism? We have this argument every single time this pops up on our podcast of someone, you know, whether it's Nirvana taking the riff from 80s on Come As You Are or anything like that. We have a lot of those discussions, but Darius Rucker has a quote about this where he says, it never got to the point where we were sued. When we first did that song, we sent it to the publishing company and everything was fine. We played it for years and had a really big hit with it. Then they wanted some money and they got it. We weren't trying to rip anybody off. It was like, if you think that's the case, then sure. And that basically is what happened. So a few years after the song was released, Bob Dylan did make a statement about it, and they kind of had like a mini court thing, and they did end up giving them some money, but it was never like a huge falling out or anything like that. I will say, guys, in my opinion, Bob Dylan's kind of lame for that. I think that this is obviously a very like well-meaning tribute to him, and you have to be a true Dylan fan to know Idiot Wind, and to reference things like Blood on the Tracks and You're a Big Girl Now. So it's not like he just said Tangled Up in Blue, like one of his most popular songs. So I've always thought that, like, you know, I think that's a little lame of Bob Dylan. But, you know, he's always going to do whatever's going to make the most people mad. So that's just kind of him. That's okay. But obviously, then later we have the line, yeah, I'm tangled up in blue, which is a direct reference to this song, Tangled Up in Blue, which is also on Blood on the Tracks. So just a really interesting, like, lyrical analysis of that song. Like I said, a lot of people don't really know that little fact, even though he sings it so clearly. I just love it. I think it's a great story, and a really good tribute to Bob Dylan and his like lesser known music. And another final interesting fact about this song: on February 25th, 2021, Post Malone released a cover version for the anniversary of Pokemon, the 25th anniversary of Pokemon. And his version contains like samples of music from the video games. And he changed the line, the Dolphins make me cry, to the Cowboys make me cry, because he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. So I think that's really cute too. And his cover is not bad at all. We just don't really have time to play it. So I think that that's a really interesting fact as well. So this song has had a very good life as long as it's been around. And I think that it's definitely like it's a very well-deserved hit to talk about on this podcast. I think it's just a great song. So without further ado, we're finally going to play Only Want to Be With You. And now you know what lines to look out for all those Dylan references. So give it a listen. Love that song so much. I never hear that song and like don't want to dance, or I never hear that song and it doesn't improve my mood. It's just so good. It's just such a good pop rock song. It's perfect. I love that song. I wouldn't change anything about it. So we will not be playing Idiot Wind today because it is about 8 minutes long and we're not doing that. I won't torture you guys with 8 minutes of Bob Dylan telling 10 stories in succession, but we did get to hear a clip about it earlier, and I'll talk about it briefly because it is such an interesting song and it has a cool history. So just a few tidbits about Idiot Wind. And this is, of course, the song that has the big reference in it where he says, "Shot a man named Gray," just because we're talking about a lot of Dylan stuff here. But he's only performed Idiot Wind live 55 times. Bob Dylan is like notorious with Bob Dylan fans for making his set list really weird, or like not playing certain songs or playing certain songs a lot. And so that's how many times he's played it live. The first time was on the 18th of April, 1976 at the Civic Center in Lakeland, Florida. Shout out Lakeland, Florida. And then he retired the song from his set list the next month and didn't perform it again until April, 1992. just a few years before Only Want to Be With You came out. And he retired it again in August of that year. But in 1992, Clinton Halen, a prolific author of like material about Bob Dylan, he's done lots of books on him, flew from England to California just to come to his tour when he heard that Idiot Wind was playing live again. I just think that's so cute. And that is definitely something that I would do for a lot of artists that I love. I can confidently say, like, if Conan Gray were to start playing Checkmate again on his tour, like, I'd be flying there. I don't care. I don't need college money. I'm there. I'm so there. Wherever he is in the world. So I just think that that's so cute. And don't play with Dylan heads, because they will get on a plane just to hear Idiot Wind. And 55 times is not a lot, y'all. So, like I said, Bob Dylan's weird about the songs that he plays live and the songs that he doesn't. But speaking of songs he plays live, Tangled Up in Blue is a song that we are going to be playing next. It's one of his most popular songs. You probably heard it once or twice, and it's definitely a fan favorite. It's the opening track of Blood on the Tracks, and it was released as the album's only single, and it reached number 31 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was ranked third on Rolling Stone's ranking of the 100 Greatest Dylan Songs, and the staff described it as, quote, where emotional truths meet the everlasting comfort of the American folk song. Wow, what a beautiful sentiment for Bob Dylan. And it was written by him and David Zimmerman, his brother, which I think is super interesting. And it definitely is one of my favorite Bob Dylan songs to break down lyrically. It's so interesting. And you'll hear it when I play it, just all of the very, like, fun, different takes that he has. It reminds me a little bit about Girl from the North Country in the way that it's kind of this, like, linear story, or A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. Like, that reminds me of this song a lot. It's very Bob Dylan. It's about, like, different relationships and different perspectives on them. And Bob Dylan, when playing this song live, has actually altered the lyrics in every performance, changing, like, the point of view and the details and the time frame of this song. So when you hear it live, you have a great chance of hearing something other than the recorded version, which is extremely interesting. And during his 1978 world tour, the line, "She opened up a book of poems," became, "She opened up the Bible and started quoting it to me," which he's kind of said ever since. And it became one of the first, like, public indicators of Bob Dylan's conversion to Christianity. And not a lot of casual listeners of Bob Dylan know about his great conversion in 1979. But in 1979, Bob Dylan became a Christian, and oh boy, were his fans gonna hear about it. Every release, like, in the early 80s was a gospel album. He had a gospel trilogy that came out. Every lyric on his subsequent tours became, like, references to the Bible and, like, Mary and Jesus. And guys, it was just a lot. It was a lot for these poor 80s Dylan fans. It reminds me a lot of the Beach Boys story where they brought, like, the Dalai Lama out before every set. Like, that's what this felt like, probably to a lot of people. I just think it's really funny. So that's, like, a little piece of Dylan trivia. He kind of had, like, a weird, like, religious psychosis moment in the early 80s. It's kind of funny. But so that's an example of a lyric change for Tangled Up in Blue. I love that story. But yeah, Tangled Up in Blue just has, like, taken on a life of its own, kind of, in Bob Dylan's, like, years after writing it. And he has often stated the fact that the song took 10 years to live and 2 years to write. And he said that in a 1978 interview that the style of songwriting in Tangled Up in Blue is, quote, different because there's a code in the lyrics and there's no sense of time. There's no respect for it. You've got yesterday, today, and tomorrow all in the same room, and there's very little you can't imagine not happening. What a Bob Dylan quote, because what are you talking about? Well, what he's talking about here a little bit, I know we haven't played the song yet, but the song is from seemingly multiple different time points, possibly multiple different people and their perspectives, different, like, periods of things happening, different relationships almost. It can be very confusing if you don't have a lot of context for it, but it is a very interesting style of songwriting that I think definitely has many influences on Only Want to Be With You. Only Want to Be With You is obviously a much more commercial, marketable, understandable song, but it does have little things in there that you're like, oh, we're not talking about that anymore. We're pivoting to something different. Oh, what does he mean by that? And that is obviously in a much bigger example in this song right here, but there are parallels to it. Rolling Stone ranked Tangled Up in Blue as number 68 on their list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. And I bring this up now because I think that that's as a result of the songwriting. The line, there's very little you can't imagine not happening. I think that's a great quote from him. That's very true with this song. You're constantly, like, okay, what's next? Because it can't get any crazier than it already has. There's like lots of lyrics to discuss in this song. It would literally take me 8 hours to go through it all. Like, I'm not kidding. There was a lot of context here. But the line that I want to talk about the most is possibly the most interesting. Then she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. This is likely like a reference to Dante, who he was studying at Carnegie Hall at this time. Yes, don't let Bob Dylan fool you. He wasn't like for his entire life backpacking across like the Midwest. He did spend some time studying at Carnegie under some like art professors. He got really into art in like the 80s and like early 90s. And this is probably a reference, the Italian poet from the 13th century, probably a reference to the story of Francesca da Rimini and Paolo Giovanni in Dante's Divine Comedy. And I'm not here to have like a weird like academia moment and like mansplain Divine Comedy to you, but just know there are some similarities between like their love, Francesca and Paolo, and Dylan and Sarah, his ex-wife at this time, because Paolo and Francesca are longing for each other in purgatory. That's basically like the story behind that. And Dylan is longing for Sarah in this story and in most of the album Blood on the Tracks. He had just divorced from his wife Sarah before this album came out, and there's lots of references to her on it. And so when he brings up Dante, assumedly, this is kind of what we draw from that reference. I just think that's a really interesting thing. And I also think a lot of people don't perceive Bob Dylan as a very academic like referencer, but he is. He does a lot of things like that that go over people's heads. I mean, I had to refresh my, you know, understanding of Divine Comedy. We're not all just sitting around studying, you know, poetry and paintings all the time. So Bob Dylan, and I'm not saying that as a knock on him, but Bob Dylan is not just like working man's hero as a lot of people see him. He's definitely more interesting than just that. So I definitely want to clear that up. I think a lot of people perceive him as how he was in like the song The Woody era in the early 60s, but he definitely took on like a different role at this time. So that's really interesting as well. Timothy Hampton, who is the professor of comparative literature and French at the University of California, another academic, described the structure of these lyrics as a set of sonnets with 7 stanzas, each of 14 lines, each with a volta after line 8. Obviously, we can't confirm that Bob Dylan did this on purpose, but I also think that's interesting to bring up because the song is written a little strangely in terms of structure this way, not just talking about like present and past tense or perspective. It's interesting the fact that the way it's broken up is not traditional for a song, even for a Bob Dylan song. And so little tidbits like that also lean themselves to the more academic side of Dylan's writing, which he kind of takes a break from in the Gospel Trilogy and picks back up later in like the early 2000s. But Don Stanley had a really interesting quote from the Vancouver Sun, and he said that the song, quote, succeeds on the strength of its metaphors. But then Al Rudess in the Pittsburgh Press said, it is a long lurching song, but no buildup of cumulative power, and it contains seemingly meaningless images. I bring those two quotes up because they're saying the exact opposite thing of each other, but they're so interesting because this is the two perspectives on Dylan's music. Either you think he's a genius and everything he says is super intentional and well-formed, or you're kind of a little bit of a hater and you think that everything that he's saying has no meaning and doesn't make any sense and he's just saying words that come to him. I think both hold a little bit of truth. I think that the greatest writers that we know from music history are people that it just kind of flows through them. And they're kind of just like the liaisons between what's going on in their mind and what comes out in song form. David Bowie is that way to me. A lot of the stuff that he says is kind of more to capture a feeling or a vibe or a setting than it is to make a specific point. And I think that that doesn't knock his writing down at all. In fact, it makes it more natural. And I would argue that Only Want to Be With You, while being a more structured song and a more mainstream song, suffers a little bit from its inhibition. I think that you can tell when you study those lyrics that Hootie is holding back a little bit. And this is a really difficult line to toe because not everybody can have a radio hit with a Bob Dylan song. There's a reason why Tangled Up in Blue didn't go top 4 in Iceland and Only Want to Be With You did. And Only Want to Be With You is a great song and it's great lyrically, but when we have these overly structured pop songs that make a little too much sense, I think we suffer a little bit. And Only Want to Be With You definitely doesn't do that as much as other songs that were coming out alongside it did. But nonetheless, I think that you can have two things be true at once, where Tangled Up in Blue suffers a little bit from its unintelligible lyrics, and Only Want to Be With You suffers just a little bit from its too intelligible lyrics, if that makes sense. That's kind of the two opinions that I hold of both of these songs, and I love them both equally, and I think that they're both great, but I think there can be too much of a good thing sometimes, and that's a really interesting kind of lesson that Dylan teaches us a lot, is that no matter what you think, he's going to be himself and he's going to do his thing. And if it's too much for you, then he just doesn't want you to listen. And I think that that's the type of conversation that he would be wanting us to have when discussing this song, is the things that we dislike about it just as much as praising what we do like about it. Because he is a very down-to-earth person in that sense. And I think Darius Rucker would want that too. All good musicians want their art to be criticized, because that means that it's living on and we're continually talking about it. If Only Want to Be With You was irrelevant, I wouldn't even be bringing it up. And so the fact that they're that timeless also adds, you know, some good things to it as well. But enough of me talking, all of this talk about Tangled Up in Blue. It really is one of my favorite Bob Dylan songs. It's just super catchy. And I'll let you decide whether or not it's seemingly meaningless images, or whether you think they're all intentionally and wonderfully put together. I'll let you decide that. But either way, it just sounds great. And it's catchy as well, just like Only Want to Be With You. So here you go, Tangled Up in Blue, the opening track of Blood on the Tracks.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress, Papa's bankbook wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west, split up on the docks at night, both agreeing it was best. She turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Job in the great north woods, working as a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I lucky with a be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was alone, the past was close behind. I seen a lot of women, but she never escaped my mind, and I just grew place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face and the spotlight so clear. Later on, when the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair. I said, Timmy, don't I know your name? I muttered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines of my face. I must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Pray. I thought you'd never say hello, she said, you look like a silent type. Then she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. And every one of them words rang true and glowed like burning coal, pouring off of every page. basement down the stairs. That was music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. Then he started into dealing with slaves and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it finally, the bottom fell out, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was to keep on keeping on like a bird that flew. To get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are carpenters' wives. Don't know how it all got started. I don't know what they're doing with their lives. But me, I'm still on the road, heading for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point of view.
Imagine going to Bob Dylan concert after that song comes out. It's your favorite song he's ever released. You're so excited. And every line is changed to be something completely different or about a different person. I just think that's so funny. But I love both of those songs. And you know, who knew? All of the different stories that we've discovered together on this podcast, all of the different facts that I've discovered in my research that I didn't know. This has got to be one of my favorites. I just think it's so interesting. It definitely harkens back to the Steely Dan episode where we brought up Bob Dylan again. Y'all, I'm sorry. He just pops up. He's like a little cockroach that you just like can't kill. And I can say that because I'm a huge fan of his. I love him. He's my little cockroach. But he does pop up a lot. So, you know, sorry, not sorry. Hopefully you're a Dylan fan. But if you can't say that, hopefully you can also say that you're a fan of Hootie and the Blowfish. I would love to do an episode on them. Just them later, because I just love their sound. I think that they're great, and it would make my mother very happy. So, you know, that's like two birds with one stone. Two birds on the horizon, sitting on a fence with one stone. Somebody stop me. Anyway, before I make another really bad pun, I'm gonna sign off, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know the format was a little bit more spread out than normal, but I wanted to take my time to tell this story because I do think it's so interesting. And as always, tell me what you liked on this one. Tell me what you'd like to hear next. And as always, this has been Put It In Your Pocket. My name's Caroline. Thank you for listening.